Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwaways. I'm joined, as always, by Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, really good. Up and about. Got Wordle in two today.
Yeah, I know. What the hell, man? That was like ridiculous guess. You're so full of shit.
I'm really not. I was like, you know when you get it in two and it shocks you? Like when it starts lighting up like a Powerball, you're like, what the hell? How is that word?
No sense. And 2 days in a row, right?
Two days in a row. I'm gonna make it part of my next Instagram story. Hectic. Outside of that, what else news with me? My beautiful wife is at Lainey Wilson tonight. So any Yellowstone fans out there, she's a bit of a guest appearance on that, country music singer out at Rod Laver. So I'm single dadding. So if I'm whispering at times, I don't apologize.
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do.
What about you? What's news with you?
Not much, mate. 3 day week because I'm heading SA tomorrow. So nothing much could be better than that. Basketball grand final on Monday, A grade at MSAC. Got the W. Too easy.
Well, I love it. Too thanks easy. Thanks for dropping the grade.
Oh,
thanks
come on. When it's A grade at MSAC, you got to let the people know.
Good flexes. Who was old mate in the group chat flexing about a cricket grand final this week?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, sorry. He mentioned like a few times. Like, sorry, guys, I can't actually make this social day this weekend because of my cricket grand final. Like, okay. Do you always let us know you can't make? or is it just when there's a cricket grand final on?
love it.
That's good. And other huge news, massive news, he's bigger than all of that. Well, long overdue news is that the old man, Jeff Brunsting, is finally a life member of the Melbourne Disc Golf Club.
Yeah, well deserved. Like, do we have a legend status? Like, you know how in those Hall of Fames, you know, you go from being in the Hall of Fame to going to legend status? Does Melbourne Disc Golf have that?
They haven't even got a set criteria of what a life member is yet. So we're not there yet. But he'd be one of the first ballots for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He's been the president for the last handful of years. Like, I don't know how many, but a bunch. Been a committee member for a really long time. He's been a club member for, I don't know, when did we start? I don't know, 10 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Has run a million tournaments for the club and helped out in a million more. So, there's not too many people that could lay claim to doing more for the Melbourne Disc Golf Club than Jeff Brunsting. So, done, Jeff. And he's off the board now, so he's taking a bit of a chill time. I'm sure he's still going to be doing tons, but just not in an official capacity. And now an official life member.
Yeah, I love that. Anecdotally, I'm sure you don't have any raw data to hand, but I guess since he's been at the helm, like, has the club like shown any signs of growth in any way?
A little bit. I feel like when he first took over as president, we probably had, I want to say, at least 30 members.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I said at least, and I was like, nah, maybe. Now it's like a million. I didn't even know. So, a lot of factors in that. But, the Melbourne club is one of the best clubs in the country for sure. No secret, he's a big part of it. So,
yeah. Anyway. Be missed. Thanks, Jeff. Well done.
Enough of that. I've seen some cool stuff pop up on socials lately, and not least of all is the Heiser Flight tour shirts. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I saw a Blake one go around. There was a time frame about it. That might have been the only one I saw, though. Has there been a couple others?
I'm trying to remember the guy. They got a dude from America. I can't remember his name, but his one looks pretty dope as well. The Blake one for sure is pretty cool. Like, I don't know why no one's really thought of that yet. I think it's a really good idea, and I think they'll probably sell a few.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the look of the Blake one too. It's pretty crazy and colorful and all that jazz. So, what do you think? Did you see it at all?
I like it. I'm a big apparel fan. I've actually pre-ordered a bunch of Flight Factory ones that are being, with the 2024 tour players on it that I'm, yeah, they're making now based on a pre-order. I'm all about apparel, and I love that Hayden and OzDiscs is going down this line of business because if for Australians to have better access to some, a range of disc golf apparel, I think is just a winning business idea.
Yeah, for sure. They got the cool shirts, the Heiser Flight Crew. So, I've liked their standard ones for the teams, and now they're coming out with some Tour Series ones, pretty dope. Yeah, I'm just looking at Blake's now. He's got his logo on it and stuff. Blake Howson, that is, for people playing along at home, over from WA. And then the other one is Peyton Miller. So I'm unfamiliar with him, but I knew they signed a few people from over in the States. And it looks pretty cool. Same deal. He's got a little logo on it, and very bright, colorful, like a hummingbird, sitting on a very bright, colorful tree.
Does it
So,
have like the player's signature on the sleeve as well, like Blake's?
could do. I can't zoom in on the photo. I've got Instagram up on my iPad, but I'm not logged in, so I can't see too much. But I'd imagine, yeah, same sort of deal. So. Pretty cool. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, and I mean Blake's initials just obviously been BH for backhand, backhand Heiser. It just works.
Yeah.
It's so good stuff.
The other cool stuff I saw on social media is we've got two cams moving to Melbourne. So,
Yes, we do. One with a C, one with a K.
yeah. So, Cam Ford went on the Choose Dubs chat. And said he's moving back. How long's Cam been gone for now? Like 3 years?
Shit minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people probably don't even know half who he is. So Cam Ford was big in the scene here for a while. And yeah, played all the events and popped up to the Tuesday nights and everything. And but yeah, moved to Queensland with his lovely wife, and I guess they're moving back now. So yeah. Cool to get Cam Ford back. I'm sure everyone will see plenty of him very, very quickly.
Yeah, and you're likely to see a lot of him just generally around the putting green because
Yeah,
he throws it past the basket a lot just when he gets to the green and he tends to just repeat that. He just likes hanging out on the green, so it'd be good to see him there again.
you're gonna hear the name a lot. He'll get a lot of not lights. Hopefully some spotlights as well, but. But yeah, he's a fiend of a putter. Let's just say that. And then the other Cam with the K, Camille Abrutanski is trying to find out where the best place to Melbourne in Melbourne is to move to. So I guess he's coming down here as well.
I definitely did love the feedback. The suburb of Ballarat's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Not a bad get.
And being a Pom, like the weather, like he'd settle right
Oh,
in.
fit
But
right
like,
in for sure.
oh, but all jokes aside, like two 18 basket courses about to exist there. If he's got the freedom, I tell you what, I said it last podcast, there's worse places to live than Ballarat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll have a chat with him. I'm actually staying with him this weekend,
Oh,
tomorrow.
there you
Yeah, my
go.
old man, I thought I was staying with, he said I was staying with Abra.
Yes, that's
Yeah.
right.
This is the confusion. He's like, yeah, we're with Abra and Vito and one of Vito's, but I can't remember now. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then, yeah, said something about Cam for something else. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's staying with us. I was like, oh, he is too. And he's like, yeah, I already told you. Hey, Abra. And I was like, no, that's two very different people. And he's like, what's his last name? I'm like, yeah, it's Abrutanski, but the other dude's just name is Abra. So yeah, I'll be spending a bit of time with Cam this weekend, so that should be fun. And yeah, I'll get the red hot give him some red hot advice.
Yeah, sick.
And then when I was with DP doing my sesh the other week, he had one of the new Bergs V4 bags,
Tasty.
and it looked pretty good, I must admit. It looked quite nice. Have you got your hands on one yet?
No, mine's apparently in the mail.
Mmm.
Look forward to getting my greased little fingers on it because yeah, it looks like a significant upgrade. It albeit a downsize, a welcome downsize from the V3.
Yeah, no, it looks really good. Yeah, size looks good. Everything just looks like a good bag. And I saw it at Marshall Street Discs, which I have them on my Facebook or something, because they've always got really cool discs. That's what I like about them. I think they're the guys out at Pyramid Disc Golf Course.
Right.
Where the MVP Open is. And yeah, they were just, yeah. So I was like, I guess they're making big moves around the States at the moment. Like, if they're there, I'm sure they're probably at a lot of different stores. So
yeah, they're making huge moves. Fun fact about Marshall Street Disc Golf. Back in the day when, it might have even been pre your time, but when we first found disc golf, Joel and Hardy and I, and the club had about four members. Marshall Street was the go-to for everyone in Melbourne to get all of their stuff. They would let you package up. It was like spend and save, and they had good shipping deals. And yeah, I used to get like all of my discs, 100% of my discs from Marshall Street Disc Golf.
Yeah, wow, cool. Well, now you can get a Berg's bag. Yeah, not the unique one.
Yeah, $199.99 USD. Like, this is not an ad, but I just, at that price point, I just think it's gonna do well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's probably half the price of a pound bag.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it looks legit. So I'm sure we'll be seeing more and more of them out there. So well done to Mike.
All right. While we're on the flavor of seeing cool things on social media, I'm just I'm going to wedge this right in here.
Excellent.
One thing that you may have seen via our very own Instagram was a bit of fan mail. You see what come in?
Oh, yes. This is so good.
How good's fan mail?
Yeah, so, who'd have thought we'd get fan mail?
So there's obviously a stubby holder for the pair of us here. For those that haven't seen socials yet, I come home the other day, waiting in my letterbox is, Dear Throllers. I'm like, what is going on here? Open it up, couple of stubby holders, Throllers logo on the front, and on the back, this just beautiful picturesque disc golf hole that just simply says, volunteer harder.
It's just the best. So good.
It's the best.
It's so good. It made me laugh so hard. I thought you made it.
Nah. Literally had nothing to do with it. Didn't even know it was coming.
That's so funny.
So shout out to James Honeyman. That is definitely the best fan mail we have ever received.
Yeah, it's so good. I love your work, honey. That's hilarious. Thank you very much. On to something a little less exciting than that, but slow play has been the theme of the Disc Golf Pro Tour so far this short season. And I just want to get your thoughts on it. So they're starting to penalize, we were to cover the stupid penalties for like getting to the tee box late, but they're starting to crack down now a lot on like taking too much time in your putting or assessing your shot or any of that sort of stuff. And I don't know. I think it's real weird. One point that you had made to me was that it's unfair to the lead card because the marshal's just following the lead card around. And the marshal's the only one out there making calls. So that kind of screws everyone else over. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on the slow play and like the clear agenda they seem to have to be trying to speed up the game?
Yeah. Let's like think about cricket and T20 and every other sport in between, and even like the LIV Golf Tour, etc., etc. Every sport needs to find a way to become more palatable. At its current standpoint, the Disc Golf Pro Tour is asking you to log on and consume disc golf if you're going to watch live for anywhere between 3 and 5 hours. And some of that is down to slow play. So I'm all for the clear agenda. The clear agenda I'm all for. Their methods, I do challenge. It is unfairly challenging the lead cards. And they're also doing things like in the latest tournament, they were even putting the gaps between the cards, making them bigger. So they would like to accommodate for less backups and then putting marshals on those cards. And like in turn, like I think it kind of slowed things down. by having those bigger gaps. But yeah, I'm like Brody Smith again. We steal stuff from what's that podcast called again?
Tour Life.
We steal stuff from Tour Life all the time. One of the things they harp back to every now and again, and I think it's not the answer to going over the 30 seconds, but it is the answer to maybe making disc golf more palatable and shorter and faster. It's cards of three.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Cards of three.
Cards of three. Imagine your top three cards, like but all cards, but just imagine like your top 12 playing on cards of three. How much quicker would those 12 players get through as cards of three as compared to three cards of four?
Yeah, but then you can't fit as many people in it a day and
all that sort of stuff. Because
it's not completely linear. It's not like the amount of time they'll save, it doesn't sort of equal that extra person.
100%. What they would have to do, if the only way you could achieve it is FPOs play a different course.
Wow. But that's big.
It is big, but FPOs already play a different basket.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on slow play?
So I just think it's too complex because it's not hard and fast. So you got 30 seconds, right? Well, not really. So it's just an understanding that sometimes some shots are harder and you need to really think about it or have a look at a thing. And no one really cares. People only really care if it's all the time, if you're doing it a lot, or if you're taking forever on something easy. Then people are like, what the hell is going on? But if you're in the woods and you got to try to figure out, oh, can I straddle out with a sidearm? Or does it have to be a patent pending backhand? Or, oh, I might switch discs real quick. No one's like, hurry up, Chris. Like, do this shit. I'm timing here.
Yeah.
The first thing that sort of jumped in my mind when I started to think about this too was I wanted to check, I'm going to jump on and do the timing of this, but I forgot. But I'm certain James Conrad took more than 30 seconds to line up the holy shot. So yeah. Should we have wiped that out of disc golf history? Like, should that not really have been a thing? No one was telling him, hurry the fuck up, mate, because they understand that it's more important than that. So how can you have a rule that you don't want to enforce all the time? Like, then how do you just enforce it? That's the part that doesn't really, that doesn't really add up for me. And then I don't really like the idea of penalizing a whole card, because if one person's just really slow and you don't really have a mechanism to solve that, then the whole card gets punished. I don't like that. So I really don't know. Like, I feel like naming and shaming helps. Like, a lot of people on the Pro Tour, at least, that have been named and shamed have been working on it and gotten quicker. Like, Gannon Burr is much quicker now than he used to be. I think that part of it helps. But, yeah, I don't know. Just when do you call and when do you not call? Yeah, like, Gannon, when he got called for his time violation, asked when his time starts, and they couldn't even give him a clear answer.
Yeah.
So the guy that called him on it couldn't give him a clear answer of just exactly by the rules when his time started. I'm like, well, how can you make that call then?
Yeah. I do like that it's like how the rules meant to be interpreted and what the marshal should have said. Like, for me, I think it is clear when it's your turn, it's your turn.
And I agree with that.
And that's when your time started.
I agree with that for sure, but that's hard to put in a rule book.
Yeah, it is.
Hard to make enforceable.
What about taking a leaf out of poker? What about every player at the start of each round, when they're there 5 minutes early, because they have to be there 5 minutes early, the starter marshal is handing out to every player three time bank chips. And throughout the round, they're accountable to the 30-second rule, but three times within those 18 holes, so within the next 60 throws, essentially, three times they get to go to their card and they use it like that. It could be a mini, it could be three additional minis, and they just lay down the time bank mini that just says to everyone, give me a little bit of extra time here, boys. I'm taking this shot seriously.
I don't mind that. It's a little convoluted, but I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Like some version of that anyway. When, yes, it is a hard and fast rule, but there are exceptions.
Yeah, and I think it's just an unspoken rule. Like, it's definitely an unspoken rule on the pro tour that, you know, if I'm climbing off into the woods to make a shot, a get out of jail scramble shot, like, you just take your time. You get in there, you do your thing, and you take a shot. But, you know, what Brody alluded to, and, like, I think we'll see it, like, there's tension. As the sport gets – the thing is, we're a microcosm. I've said this before, and I don't know if that's a word, of, like, the bigger thing. And so there'll be tensions in NPO fields and maybe in other divisions here in Australia before long with people being called on this shit. And the thing is, like – it becomes tit for tat. Like once someone's been called for something, then it just becomes this thing. It's so hard. Like it's so hard on the players to like put them into that situation, I think.
Yeah, for sure. You call me on something, I'm like, all right, let's see where your foot is on this step putt.
Exactly.
Let's see how, you know, where the edge of your toe goes on your drive. Oh, you kicked your mini. Oh, there you go. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, there's too many little rules that we just don't worry enough about. It's just, it's hard to start all of a sudden getting aggressive on some. It's weird. So I don't know. I have no answer to slow play. I just hope people don't play slow. Like that's a tough one.
Yep.
In MA1, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that holds cards up. There's no one I'm sitting there going, well, this will be a long one, because I feel like we're in that sweet spot of good enough to play all right, but not good enough to care that much.
Yeah.
What about in the local NPO scene? Have you seen some people where if you see their name, you know you're in for a long one?
Yeah, yesterday I had a couple of names I could kind of fire off, but I got none of jumping out of me right now. I should have probably thought about this beforehand. I'm finding myself at the bottom card often at the big events.
Yeah, so that's pretty much MA1.
Exactly. So we're not taking it too seriously down there when we're coming dead last.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. But no, I don't know. Like, it's something people would talk about. There's no one really that's spoken about as a slow player currently, is there? Really?
No one I can think of off the top of my head. Yeah. Yeah, and definitely nothing like the slow players in the States. Like, it's crazy how long they take to do anything. I've never seen anything like that before, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. We'll talk about some actual disc golf, hey? We had a social day over on the weekend in Llewellyn. So I did not make it out there. Why didn't I make it out till then? I couldn't be bothered. That was it. I was genuinely thinking I had a reason, and then I was like, oh, nah, I just would rather sleep. And I made a great call. I slept. Oh, man, I slept so good. I got to bed early, and I slept in real late. It's fantastic. And it was, like, the disc golf's in Texas, so, you know, I was sleeping until, like, 9:30 or something. I turn it on, and then just hit rewind.
How good's that?
Oh, yeah, they're on, like, hole 15 or something. I'm like, no, let's go back. And then skip through some crap. It was great. It was a really good call. But it was also a really good call by Ryan Deere to show up, because he had himself a very fantastic round. He shot a neg 10 and led all comers for a bounce-back social day victory after getting spanked last week.
Absolutely predicted on that nail by us.
Yeah.
That he might just go first, sixth. And sure enough, he did. Good bounce back, young buck.
Yeah, bogey free. Just scrolling down, he looks to be about the only bogey free scorecard that I see.
Peter Chu got bogey free, which is nice.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, Pete. Yeah, I see that now.
That's it.
But yeah, Aiden Howard in neg eight, but got outdone by non-member Tom Jenker.
Yeah.
Was not aware Tommy wasn't a member. Come on, mate.
He does have a metric. I was going to say, does he even have a metrics rating? God, he got it done on the handicap. Well done, Thomas.
Yeah, handicap leader, I should say, over Nick Tay and Marco Troiani. See, I told you we see his name a lot.
Yeah, there he goes again.
He's the other half of Bespoke as well.
That's good to know.
Aiden Howe there in third, and then a bit of a logjam after that. Juan, Radar, Peter Chu, and Glenn Mazie find some form with neg sevens. So nice rounds there. Aiden with a couple OBs, I see, on his neg eight. One for bogey, and one of them he saved par. So could have been right there with Ryan Deere if he had kept it clean.
Yes, true that.
What about anything else stick out at you, good or bad?
I've never been to Llewellyn, but what I can tell is hole nine's hard.
Hole nine, yeah, it is hard. Which one's hole nine?
No idea, never been. No birdies.
Wow. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know, it might have changed since the last time I was there. There's definitely a couple, like, real hard ones there on the current layout that are just too far. Like, they're too far to be par threes.
Yeah.
So must be one of those two. But yeah, a bit surprising that even Ryan Deere didn't get it. But well, Mike Vandeleyne with a neg one is a surprise to me. He's normally a bit more up and about than that.
Oh, God, good segue. I don't know if we're jumping into SA soon, but I do spot young Mike Vanderlinden's name on the SA entry list.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw that as well.
This is his first time playing disc golf interstate.
It has to be, right?
It is. I went looking. Yeah.
It's the first time outside of like a club event, I feel like. I don't even think he's going to Ballarat.
He's got like four PDGA events to his name.
Yeah, it's wild. I'm very interested about that. And then the old man said something about he's played that before. So I feel like he must have family over near Bel Air. So
I think that might be true.
But we can jump there now. Is there anything more you see on the...
Just that I heard that... just that I'm not going to rush out there. Got some feedback that... is it just a bit of open space?
No. There's definitely some good holes there. The last time I played it was just odd. Like, it's like they couldn't pick a direction. So there's a couple real, like a handful of real easy sort of musket holes. And then there was a couple holes that were just unreachable. And you're like, how are these on the same course? But there's definitely some fun shots. The open one that you're probably talking about, there's an eagle opportunity on one of them, which is cool. I've thrown a big boy backhand out there before and then hit a long putt for an eagle. But hole, what I think is 18, I can't remember what the numbers are. Up from the road entry, there's a mando on your right. You got to throw like a backhand turnover or a forehand hyzer to sort of a placement shot, and then another up onto a basket on a hill, which is really cool. They got some cool holes there. I'm not mad at it, but yeah. It needs to pick a lane. The Melbourne Celebrates course, I enjoyed. I thought that was pretty cool. That seemed to sort of have a bit of a theme to it. But yeah, the reshuffled layout, which was the last time I played a social day there, just seemed a bit out of whack, but definitely fun.
Good stuff. I'll have to make the trip.
Yeah, one day you get out there. There's so many. I haven't even been to Caulfield yet, have you?
That is just three baskets around a.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. I work in Caulfield.
Yeah, true.
I should get out there. All right, so we teased the SA Open. You said how Mike Vanderlinden's there. Not just him. Every single one of the MA50s from Melbourne is there.
It's huge.
It's crazy. There's no way that anyone but a Victorian takes this home.
Yeah. And does Mike Van der Linden take it down?
I think he should. A little worried about that Olinda form. But, yeah, he's normally quite good. And he normally has the measure of both Doug and Jeff. And they're the top three rated players. So I think he will get it done for sure.
All right. Time will tell. PDGA, 272,000. But, yeah, it's between those three. It's between those three, isn't it?
Yeah, 272,000. Just a mere 220,000 after Jeff.
Exactly.
Oh, wild. But in the MPO field, it's actually pretty hot. There's 14 players, but plenty of the big boys.
Sorry, I'm going to go back up to the MPO field in a second, but I've just noticed old mate Mark Powers has signed up.
Yeah, Mark Powers is a Adelaide local. So, yeah, he plays the SA Open every year.
And 2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, for people who don't know, 2,000. So what, just a whole 270,000 less than Mike Van der Linden.
What a spread.
Last year, he actually gave away a like an OG rock to someone that he was playing with. Like, it was like a fun card mate or something. I can't remember the exact deal. But it was something like that. He made an announcement for the thing and then handed it out after. It was pretty cool. But yeah, he's like ADG like 3 or something. Yeah. Mark Powers, been around forever. And yeah, not often you see 2,000.
No.
But yeah, MPO. What about MPO? What did you like up there?
Yeah, lots. Look, let's throw some Smokies in there. Matt Noblett.
Yep.
Obviously, SA boy has performed well at SA events before. Definitely a smoky. Goes in a lower ranked player now below the 950 bucket. But don't sleep on that. And obviously, you got Gareth Morgan coming off some hot form, and again playing in the home state. Be really good to get a back to back awesome showings from Gareth after his SA performance. But Tassie performance. But speaking of Tassie performances, does Bainey just take this down?
I think so. I think there's a couple at least in a row for him at the SA Open. He loves getting over there and he always plays really well. I'm sure he's played this Bel Air course a lot and I'm very confident none of the others have. So that's got to be a big win for him. And, yeah, he's just good. He's just very good, just like he showed in Tassie. Wooded golf, I'm pretty sure the Bel Air course is a bit more wooded. Just from vibes I hear from the stories of it. But, Bainey be my tip for sure. But, yeah, another Thomas Roden has made his way up from MA1, thankfully. And he'll be competing in MPO for the first time, I believe. So, 959 rated, doesn't leave Adelaide very often, but plays very good disc golf in Adelaide. So keen to see how he will perform there as well.
All right, best state of origin, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. And then the MP40, I think Youngblood he's too good. He's another very good Adelaide local, and I don't see anyone taking much off him.
No, that's fair. That's Olatudunji Akbosani.
Yeah.
Performed pretty well at his recent events. At the Sizzler. He performed very well and came in second. So let's see how he goes.
Yeah, but I think their second was a long way off the top of MPO, and I don't think that Youngblood will be that far off the top of MPO. So
yeah.
That's where my thought process is at.
Fair enough.
But we'll see. I don't want to pump his thighs up too much. And my division's a lot more wide open now. Since last year when Gareth and Tom were... Oh, no, it was Bruce, actually. Other Tom were in the playoff. But, Tom Roden and Gareth are going up, and it's opening up a fair bit. But the SA guys, they're good. The MA One Field in SA is always hot. They bring the heat. No surprise that they've got the three highest rated players. And yeah, I genuinely think probably three of them will end up on the lead card final round. So hopefully I can be number four.
Yeah, that's a bottleneck, isn't it? Jay Ross not that far below the 900 rated players, and then Matt Green bringing up the rear a little bit there, Matt. But the SA boys are hard to go past. Like you said, Bruce was in the playoff last year, so you expect him to go well again.
Yeah, but I think Tim Davis will do it. I think Bruce is allergic to winning, so I just can't see him taking one out. He'll have to win one to change my mind. But
that's a pretty shit allergy to have.
Oh yeah, I think he's got a lot of seconds. If I was to deep dive into his thing, I reckon I'd see a lot of seconds. But maybe another one in his future. I don't see. We got Mark Carter heading over Victorian for the MA40 division.
He's going to struggle in that field, I think.
But yeah, I think he's going to be pretty outclassed. Yeah, pretty thick now. Peter Gay moving in. Slowbomb coming off a good performance in Tassie. Hartley, Nicholson, always good. So yeah, pick your poison there. That's going to be a good one. Whoever shows up on the day, I reckon, best on the day will be the one taking it home.
Oh, I hadn't scrolled down to MA2 before. Look out.
Yeah, MA2, what are you saying?
Oh, well, it's back, isn't it?
The best part of the whole weekend.
Yes, Henry versus Penn is back. And then, like, if you got it sorted in rating order, you find your young Don Carter right down near the bottom. But we all know that Don Carter plays 800 rated golf and he plays 950 rated golf. And that's why his rating's the way it is. But he's never played 860 golf in his life.
Never.
He's actually just played a lot higher or a lot lower.
Yeah.
So he either wins or comes last, Don Carter. But yeah, that's spicy.
Oh, it's so spicy. I can't wait. I wasn't aware he was coming until I was having a quick look yesterday or today or something, Penn. This is, and I was like, oh, here we go, the Penn versus Henry battle.
So, and then down in his home state. I can't wait to watch this unfold.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be good. FA2 is gonna be another tight one. So all the familiar SA locals, and then Anita Weber and Jess Holman bringing their battle across as well. So this is gonna be a very tight one.
It will be tight, yes.
Mm. MA3, anything spicy you see in there?
Well, obviously, we got Max Tats, who I'm big on.
Mm-hmm, your boy.
I also got Matt Hunter sitting in there. A couple of other Vicks with Duncan as well.
Yeah, but Lee Joy.
Max Tats been on one recently. Oh, let's back in Max Tats. I back him in every event, so I may as well back him in this one as well.
Nah, Andrew Young Jack away for me.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
Yeah.
And we got any Victorians heading over for Wayne Govan popping over in MA4. But that's about it. So normally a bit of a local fest, the MA4. So we'll, who knows on that one. And FA4, a bit the same.
Yeah.
Bunch of locals, so not really sure. But I'm really looking forward to it. I head off tomorrow morning. The old man's driving, and I thought that sounded real shit. So I'm catching a plane. While he's driving, neither one of us could be convinced otherwise, and the other one didn't care. So, but I've heard nothing but great things about this Bel Air course, so I'm very much looking forward to it. Our guys, Gareth and Jono, when they were talking about getting the course into the ground, just were like, "This is the one. Like, this one is the one we are so keen to get in." And yeah, like I said, heard nothing but great things since it's in. So very much looking forward to it. I think it's pretty long. I think it's pretty wooded. We're all staying on site. Like, they've got a holiday park or something right on site. So got a big family cabin with the old man and yeah, a few of the others I mentioned before. They've got big games rooms. Yeah, lots of good stuff. So Can't wait.
Beautiful. Jealous. Mm.
All right, we're doing pretty good here. The kid's sleeping really well. We're getting through the pod.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on nanny cam. He rolls over occasionally. He's flipped the finger up at the nanny cam a couple of times, but I think he's good. Yeah, I think he's good. He's had to go to bed with no Mungi tonight. Mungi is definitely our code word for breast milk. And I thought I was in for one. But anyway, touch wood. He's still sleeping.
Well, not many segments left. We've got the Open at Austin, presented by Flight Factory Discs. So they weren't even sure they were going to get this tournament across. Like, our tipping chat was going a lot with all sorts of chatter of should you be through picking good players or throwaway players. But they managed to get two and most of a third round in. And they got themselves a brand new MPO champion.
Yeah, they did.
So Nicholas Antola, who just played great golf all weekend, really. He's played great golf his whole start of the season. Him and Kyle Klein have for sure had the best starts out of anyone. And no surprises that they were the last two really battling it out for the victory.
Yeah, it was great, obviously, to also see Calvin Heinberg kind of put a bit of talk to bed because he got off to a slow start this season. But yeah, it's his first victory, isn't it, for Nicholas?
Yep, first victory for him and first victory for any Finnish-born player. Yeah, so that's they so were good. Up and about.
Yeah, and Evelina obviously took it out in the FPO the other week. So Finland taking over.
Yeah, male player, sorry.
Yeah.
It was a pretty epic finish, though. Did you get to see it?
Oh, I'm actually at 27 holes behind at least with this event, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. Well, well, I'll give you a few spoilers, sorry.
I've seen the results.
Yeah. Now, it was pretty exciting. So, Kyle Klein just had a monster final round. Like, wasn't really a part of it, and then all of a sudden he's just leading the whole tournament by a few strokes, and everyone's like, wait, what? The lead card sort of got off to a slow start the final round. Gannenberg couldn't hit a putt for the first 9 holes, or 10 or 11 holes maybe, but AB was doing his thing, Calvin was doing his thing, still throwing no forehands, just exclusively backhands, but just being a weapon in general. But Antola was playing sort of still good enough. Yeah, I think he took a big number on one of the holes, though. I think he took like a double bogey or a triple bogey or something crazy. And the commentators were giving him no love. It was wild. They just kept talking about how Calvin was coming and this and that. And I was just like, Antola's got the most holes to play. And the kid doesn't miss putts ever. So I was pretty confident that he was going to charge home. And he does. He just goes whack, 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 and then throws an absolute peach on one of the hardest holes. So the par 4, I think hole 16 or something. 15. Now it must be 14. They skipped 15. Put it out into that gap, and then you got to throw up next to the island, next to the golf green. And he puts it to just outside the bullseye and then misses the putt. It was crazy. Like, I never saw. He's such a good putter, and he misses that almost bullseye putt. But then goes on, they skip 15, he goes on a birdie, easy 16, and then I'm pretty sure gets the birdie on 17, 18 to close out. Like, just incredible two holes to get it done. And Kyle Klein just sitting there waiting. Calvin, I think, threw out of bounds on 18.
Yeah, and then birdie.
Yeah, he threw an incredible shot from where he went out of bounds. Like, just ridiculous. Only Calvin Heinberg could throw that shot to get to just outside circle, but missed the putt, unfortunately. But yeah, very cool tournament. So yeah, good viewing.
All right, I'll if Theo stays asleep, I might even sneak in another 9
holes. Hey, there you go. This recording. but it was really interesting to see Corey Ellis and Andrew Marweed on the same lead card because they are the same human. and I've never seen them both together before, and I just thought that they were playing some shenanigans on people. One of them's like, oh, I'll just be like a better putter, and the other, you'd be a better thrower. And they're like, yeah, sweet, I'll just pretend. But it turns out they are two definitely different people.
That's hilarious. I definitely didn't have that doppelganger scenario with, did you say Marweed and Alice?
Yeah, Marweed and Alice. It's not even me, like, for me, they're both just, the, like, yeah.
Redalen and Marweed.
Redalen and Marweed?
Yeah, in my head, those two players are the same players.
To me, yeah. Redalen is just, if Paul Macbeth had a bigger dump truck. Redalen to me is just DGA's Paul Macbeth. Like, if DGA tried to make a destroyer, it's called Redalen.
That's
But I've got, yeah, no, nah, I don't know. They're both just the tall, lanky, quiet. Yeah, to me, Ellis and Marweed are the same person. Not the same player. Like, Ellis slings, Marweed doesn't. And they're both good putters, but Marweed's a better putter. But yeah, I always thought they were the same person. But maybe I'm the only one.
There you go.
Who else did I see? Matty Oram's still playing sick. That's like, yeah. I think he's had top 10 finish or top 15 at least in all these tournaments so far.
Who did you tip?
I tipped Ezra Robinson.
Okay.
Just because he was having about as good as a start as almost anyone. And yeah, he did all right. Finished 12th, so not mad at that. Not mad at all. You know what I mean? It's just it's hard to pick. Like,
yeah.
You know, unless you're picking some actual stellar studs in Barella and Heimberg, Klein and Antela. Other than that, the rest of the top 10 or whatever, it's sort of guessing game. What about you? Who'd you go?
Yeah, I went Robot Chicken, Chris Dickerson, who got T9th.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, that was definitely my best tip for the year. And I across in the FPO, I had Gannon, who got third.
Oh, look at you. Good tipping week. Yeah, I had Natalie Ryan, who was just behind in fourth.
In our tipping, 10 players in our tipping comp tip better than that.
Yeah, I was actually pretty... Yeah.
Ninth and a third, and 10 went better than that. What the hell?
I was pretty... the fourth and the 12th, and I was like, this would be a good week for me. And it's like, nah, almost everyone beat you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how are people this good at the tipping? But I don't know. They must be tipping all the good players early, and they'll have nothing left for the big ones.
True.
But, yeah, last week we talked about how it's Kristen Tatar and then the rest... But not this week. We had On Scoggins by 11 strokes.
Yeah,
over Tatar.
On was listening to us, and she was listening to Tour Life, and both podcasts said exactly that. It's Kristen and the rest, and there's not much competition. And well, we.
Yeah, 1,055 rated round two, with a 1,042 rated round three. Shit. That's getting it done.
1,029 event, highest ever in FPO history. By any female player.
Amazing. Just absolutely. And it's not even close after that. She nagged 26, 11 ahead of Tatar, who's then 5 ahead of Missy Gannon. Like, it drops off so aggressively. What, 10th? Yeah. Well, they don't know 10th place, but 9th place was neg 3. Shot neg 26.
Yeah.
She wasn't even playing the same course. Just nuts. But outside that, just, yeah, like we said, there'll be 10 ladies that'll be in the top 15 every single week, and then, yeah, they're all there. The only, L.A. Hansen disappointing down in 19th. Yeah, Holly Finley, a few others, but most of it's... your standards just in different order.
Yeah, exactly. It's just absolute smacking. I'm just having a little bit of the, a little look at the statistics. She had in round two in that bonkers round, she had a total putting distance of 335 feet. Kristen Tatar, who came second, had less than half of that.
Oh my God.
Mate,
just killing it.
Literally twice the putter of Kristen in that round.
Yeah, wow. It's the first time she's won an event that Kristen had played.
Yeah, sick. I mean,
so
yeah,
pretty amazing.
Anyone that beats Kristen in a field will have that same statistic.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Oh, nice. All right. Should we finish this off with some spotlight, not light?
Oh, we've made it. Let's go.
Yeah. Have you got anything for me?
I do. I'm actually going to start with my not light, and that's why I was like stumbling just now, because I didn't want to mention that I was looking at statistics. My not light has to go to PDJ Live and Statmando and just all involved. Like, there was a grace period. The grace period is over. Now it's just bullshit incompetence. Like, we still can't favorite players. Your statistics are all over the shop. I noticed at Waco, and I don't even know how this is possible, some players had statistics and some players didn't. How's that even a scenario? Like, it came down to like what card you were on about whether or not they had statistics for you or not. Just go back to UDisc and like apologize, beg, do whatever you need to do, or get your shit together. PDJ Live scoring and all your statistics and everyone involved, you're my not light for the week.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll go with mine too as well then. I was watching the Jomez, and then Sexton said something about Garrett Gerthy, and I was like, is he even still playing? I haven't heard anything about him. And then today popped up on my Instagram, his new Garrett Gerthy Halo Wraiths are available. And I'm like, who is buying his disc? Because he is no good now. 79th at the Open in Austin. I've just clicked on his thing. Might be being a little harsh. He did cash in the first two, but like 34th, 29th. I don't know. I want to see him up on some Jomez. Haven't seen him forever. When's the last time you've seen Garrett Gerthy on a lead card? I don't know.
No idea. Fair enough.
He's putting out one of like the classic Innova discs in a big beefy boy Halo mold. You can't even get a top 10 for me. So I don't know. Double G. I want more out of him.
Nah. Good not light. All right. I've got an honorable mention spotlight, and then I'll go with my actual spotlight as well. So my honorable mention just has to go to Luke Pope and the entire Invalid crew. Snuck down there on the weekend. You and I had the pleasure of playing there just a couple of months ago during the Green Jacket weekend. I can't stress enough how much clearing and how much work has even happened again in the last couple of months down there. It's unbelievable how ready that course and how good that course is looking in preparation for the Vic Open. I'm super pumped for the Vic Open. There's now on many holes, like not on all holes, don't get me wrong, but scramble is now an option. Like,
what?
There was a few holes where I hit first available and got pars.
Wow.
Now, yes, I've subtle flex, I was throwing good shots on those seconds, but only because good shots were an option. Like, I was like stood in places and being like, oh yeah, there's a shot here, I can get to par from here, where I've never, like, there's been many a scenario at Invalid where I've never even thought that.
Yeah.
And on one hole I shanked it to circle one on a par three. Because there was just so much less stuff in the way. It's mostly ground foliage that they've just been absolutely clearing. And the joint just looks $1 million. So that's my honorable mention. Big honorable mention. But Invalid, the whole crew, I'm assuming it's still Luke doing a lot of that work. It looks $1 million. So impressed. But my actual spotlight, and sorry if you were going to go with this one as well, Alan, but my actual spotlight has to go to Narada.
Yeah, me too. Go for it. Put it out there.
Yeah, sick. So I don't want to get this wrong, but if you want to check him out on Spotify, I'm going to pronounce it Duo Jual. Don't know if I'm pronouncing
that. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce that, but if you're not in the Tuesday Dubs chat, or if you bump into Narada, ask about his upcoming album. He's dropping some beats. He's dropping some heat. I've had to listen to a couple of the tunes that he shared, and I'm about it, and looking forward to the album release, and have definitely given him a cheeky follow on Spotify. So get around it. That is Duo Jual. Get amongst it.
Yeah, it's sick. I was pretty impressed. I had no idea. I didn't know he did music at all. And then, yeah, especially that first part, the sick music video and cool tunes. Like, yeah, it's good. So, no, definitely a big spotlight for me as well. Love that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sweet. All right, well, brings us down to another one. I'll see you guys all next week. Thanks for listening.
Good luck in SA, Alan. Peace out.
Cheers. I think we're on. Yeah, we're on. Cool. All right.